know, dashing about a bit. Begin with John chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it, or some versions have, the darkness has not put it out. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Then going ahead to a couple of verses from John chapter 3, beginning at verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Then into John 9, the first five verses. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And then just a few verses from Matthew 5, beginning at verse 11. "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." I will be just thinking about some of the themes that are being talked about in those Gospels a little bit later on. Hey, what have you done this week? I've had a wonderful time. 2 days this week. I've been over to Ledbury to look down sewers. Oh, wonderful. And because we're still responsible for the fabric of Castle Clinic, and one of the people there rang us up and said, the toilet's not draining very well. So I had to go over, pulled up with my crowbar, a manhole cover, and it was full. It was not nice. It smelt. I had to get me torch out, have a good look at what was happening. And well, the drain goes into the land next door, and it blocks. It keeps getting blocked there. So I had to call out the water board, and they sorted it. And then I had to go back again yesterday and have a look, because there was still a smell, and I had to check that it was not backing up from where they'd cleared it, because that's our responsibility. Next door's is the water board, and they only did their bit. And anyway, it was all right, but the blockages, not a lot of things were blocking them, but things you don't want to talk about, but they're small things. And I thought, small things really stop the system doing what it's designed to do. It's supposed to flow freely and get out, and it didn't. But when these small things were removed, the system operated as it should. And I think that sort of feeling links in with what I feel I'm going to be talking about today. The New Testament speaks of the kingdom of light. And when the system runs as it should, God's light shines into our lives, shines from us into the world. But oh dear, there's darkness that comes in, and it interferes with the light shining out. And it does, doesn't it? And it interferes in ways that individuals, some things that will hinder us being as effective as we should be, don't affect somebody else, because they've got a different glitch in their lives. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And I think probably all his people can testify that there were times when we were walking in darkness. It may well have been that we were very regular churchgoers for years. Or it may have been that we'd never darkened the doors, but we were in darkness. And then suddenly, something happens to each of his people, and the light comes in. And sometimes it's just a flickering light. But it's there. It's there. But Jesus says, doesn't he, that although there is light in the world, men love darkness rather than light. And we know that there is definite opposition to the kingdom of light. It might be obvious, and it might be that people are consciously, they know what they're doing, they're opposing the gospel. And it's not just in places like Iran and the countries that follow other faiths. It's happening in this country as well, where I went to my old school not so long ago, up in Yorkshire, and it just so happened that the headmaster said, "Oh, we don't have assemblies as often as we did. We might only have it twice a week, and we don't sing hymns." Well, one of the things I loved about school was the school assemblies with the organ going, singing the hymns. That stopped. And so often as well, people use the kingdom for their own ends. And I'm going to be controversial. I might upset people, but I'm sorry. About 50 years ago, when I sort of first became a Christian, I was thrilled to see how the gospel was being spread in different parts of the world. And I loved the story about how, just after the war, missionary organisations got together and had this fantastic idea of concentrating their resources in particular places. And they drew up a list of where the places were going to be most likely for the church to grow. And they came up with a list, and right at the bottom, places where, nah, don't bother, they're too far gone, was Korea. And what happened? God said, this is the place where the church is going to grow. And they now say that something like a third of the people of Korea are Christians. There were very few Christians just after the war. And I loved hearing that. But I also was very impressed with the way in America, the evangelists were affecting people and lives were being turned. But I remember Ken saying how since the war in America, Christianity has become a business enterprise. And it really saddens me how to see how you've now got multi-millionaire evangelists, and one of them almost is there ready to be a billionaire. He has almost $1,000 million in his account. He has a jet, because the Lord might tell him to go to different parts of the world, and he's now asking for a second jet, so he can still go to different parts of the world when the first jet is being repaired. And I'm so sad how, in a place where the light seemed to be shining, there's a lot of hypocrisy now. So many of these pastors of the mega churches who've got presence in television and social media are being outed for sexual abuse. And there seems to be hypocrisy that, for example, that people who are vehemently opposed to the idea of abortion don't see a problem about, once those children grown up, that they're able to be killed in schools because people have the right to have guns. They can't see that. One thing that's really upset me this week, and this is when I get controversial, is a gentleman called Pete Hegseth, who has just been made the Secretary of State, American Secretary of State for Defense. He has been divorced twice. He's had a series of affairs. He's had 5 children with different women. He's been accused of sexual assault, financial misconduct, but he calls himself a militant Christian nationalist. He's a member of a very sort of extreme fundamentalist church. What has happened to his light? There's no repentance there. He's supposed to be, if he's a Christian and a prominent Christian, he's supposed to be showing light in the dark places. He's not. There's a feeling of covering up of things in churches. Of what will people say? We've seen this in the Church of England recently, haven't we? Justin Welby, I believe, is a good man. He's somebody who I think would, if he came to this church, he would respond to the things that we say. We would get on with him very well. But when there has been sexual abuse, it was covered up. It shouldn't have been. The darkness has come in to places that should be light. And there are churches that would still say, oh, keep quiet about it. What would people say? We've suffered with this. We discovered in a church there where we had been that there had been sexual abuse in an outdoor centre where people from the young children had been from the church, and one of the leaders of it was basically touching up the young girls. And the leadership of the church knew about it, but didn't do anything, because what would people outside say about the church? Well, we weren't there, and it did come up after we'd been there for a few years that it was revealed when a friend of ours was sending their children there to the centre. And we thought, this isn't right. If this goes on. And basically, because we felt it wasn't right, the police did eventually get involved. And the gentleman was up in court. But because we had actually stepped out and said, this is wrong, this is darkness when there should be light, people stopped talking to us, and there is one person who still doesn't talk after about 20 years. But we felt that the light was being put out by these sorts of things. But we do have the promise that the light will shine in the darkness, and the darkness will not put it out. When we'd been here a year or so, I remember talking to Brenda. And Brenda said, Lidbrook is a dark valley. Now, quite often you don't get much sun because the valley sides are so steep. But she didn't mean that. She meant that there is spiritual darkness in this area. And it's not just the darkness that you tend to get in a lot of places. People just can't be bothered. We've got other things. We're not going to get enthusiastic. It is actually a darkness of opposition. And I think we're becoming used to knowing that there are people in this area who are actually actively against what we stand for. We've heard, I think it's just this week, that the parish church has stopped its services. There were only services once every 3 weeks there, but it stopped its services because of structural problems. 100 years ago, in Lidbrook, there were 7 places of worship. We're now the only one that's active. But the promise is that the darkness will not put out the light. Amen. And somebody once said to me, when you realise you're in a battle, you're halfway towards victory. And I think we have put our head up above the parapet, and there are certain people who don't like it. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not put it out, and it's not going to put it out. But it's interesting as well, you know, the light of the world, you've got this, the Holman Hunt picture, do you remember, where he's standing at the door with a lantern, and it says, the light of the world. And the interesting bit about that picture is that there is no handle on the outside. When Jesus is there knocking, he doesn't open it because the handle's on the inside. I'm not quite sure why I said that. It's nothing to do with my message, but I just liked it. But Jesus also says, you are the light of the world. That's us. We don't feel, possibly, as though there's much light in us. We just feel weak. But he says, you are the light of the world. And when we become Christians, we come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Oh yeah, there are things that go wrong. We fall short in so many ways. But we're there. Now, a very good friend of mine who's died now, one thing I can always remember him saying, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. Because when we become a Christian, we come into this personal relationship because of what Jesus has done. Yeah, we might not be as effective as we'd like to be. We're certainly not as effective as we'd like to be, but it's there. As John wrote, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie, and we don't live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. And Paul in Ephesians says to us, you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Let us live as children of the light. And he says it again. He says to the Thessalonians, you brothers are not in darkness. You're all sons of the light and sons of the day. We don't belong to the night or to the darkness. And the same theme is with Peter. Peter, in one of his letters, he says, and he's saying to us, just as much as he was to the people 2,000 years ago, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And just close by reminding you of what we read from Matthew. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Don't know where we are at the moment. Sometimes we feel pretty weak. Things seem to be going wrong and our light is shining very, very dimly. But Jesus says, you do have the light. The darkness is not going to overcome you. The things that are going wrong are not going to overcome you. The things that are hindering the system, like the drains, they can be removed. And then you can be the person that God intends you to be. So, whatever our situation, whatever the hang-ups that we have, whatever the problems that we have that are causing us to be less effective, and they may be different things for different people. Let's say with Matthew, as Matthew says, let your light shine.